Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudhiraye. Inasta Prayesha Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1. Is there a book marker here? No. What is the verse today again? Chapter 7, 9. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, The Son of Drona Punished, Text Number 9. Sa Shonaku Vacha, Sa Vai Nivritti Nirata. Savatro Pekshako Munihi Kasya Va Brihatim Etam Atma Rama Samabhyasat Shonako Vacha Savai Nivritti Nirata Sarvatro Pekshako Munihi Kashyava Brihati Metam Atma Rama Samabhyasat Shanaku Vacha Savai Nivritti Nirata Sarvatro Pakshako Munihi Pakshako Munihi Kasyava Priyati Metam Atma Rama Samabhyasa Shanako Vacha Savai Nivritti Nirata Sarvatro Pekshako Munihi Kasyat. What is that? Kasyava Brihati Metam Atma Rama Samabhyasa. Please chant. Shanago Vaja Savai Nivritti Nirata Savatro Pekshako Munihi Kashava Vriyati Metam Atma Rama Samavyasar Shanago Vaja Savai Nivritti Nirata Savai Nivritti Munihi Kasyavam Marama Samavyavasa Shanako Vacha Savai Nivritti Nirata Savatropekshako Munihi
Kashava Braiti Mitam Admarama Samavyasat Shanagovacha Savai Nivriti Nirata Sarvatrope Shako Munihi Kashava Vriyati Metam Anmarama Samavyasa Shanako Vacha Savai Nivriti Nirata Sarvatrope Shako Munihi Kashava Vriyati Metam Hamarama Samavyasa Vishnirata Savatro Pekshako Munihi Kashava Vriyati Metam Hamarama Samavyasa Sanagavacha Vaini Vriti Narata
Matajis.
Savai Niviti Mirata Sarva Petra Exomuni Kashava Vriyati Meta Amarama Samabhyasa.
Shanaka Uvacha.
Shri Shanaka asked,
Saha,
he,
by,
of course,
Nivritti,
on the path of self-realization,
Nirita,
Nirata,
always engaged,
Sarvatra,
in every respect,
Upekshaka,
indifferent,
Muni,
sage,
Kasya,
for what reason,
Va,
or
Brihatim,
vast,
Etam,
this,
Atma
Arama,
one who is
pleased in himself.
Samabhyasat.
Undergo the studies.
Translation.
Sri Shonaka asked Suta Goswami,
Sri Shukadev Goswami was already on the path of self-realization,
and thus he was pleased with his own self.
So why did he take the trouble to undergo the study of such a vast literature?
Please repeat.
Sri Shonaka asked
Suta Goswami,
Sri
Shukadev Goswami
was already on the path of self-realization,
and thus he was pleased
with his own self.
So why did he take the trouble
to undergo the study of such a vast literature?
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki.
For the people in general, the highest perfection of life is to cease from material activities and to be fixed on the path of self-realization. Those who take pleasure in sense enjoyment, or those who are fixed in material bodily welfare work, are called karmis. Out of thousands and millions of such karmis, one may become an Atmaram by self-realization. Atma means self, and Arama means to take pleasure. Everyone is searching after the highest pleasure. But the standard of pleasure of one may be different from the standard of another. Therefore,
the standard of pleasure enjoyed by the karmis is different from that of the Atmaramas. The Atmaramas are completely indifferent to material enjoyment in every respect. Srila Shukadeva Goswami had already attained that stage, and still he was attracted to undergo the trouble of studying the great Bhagavatam literature. This means that Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study even for the Atmaramas, who have surpassed all the studies of Vedic knowledge. Om Gyan Timirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militangena Tasmai Shri Guruvi Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtang Stapitangena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayang Tadati Swapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he states, Manushanam Sahasrishu, out of many thousands among men, one may strive for self-realization. And out of all those thousands of men, those who achieve some perfection, they can hardly understand Krishna in truth. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is the literature, the great literature by which one can begin to develop an attraction for the Supreme Personality, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many descriptions of great devotees who undergo the process of self-realization in order to link, or in order to meet, or in order to see, or develop that a relationship with the Personality of Godhead. So it's a people in general are too much engrossed in sense gratification, or they're called, like Prabhupada states here, they're called karmis, those who are engaged in working for the welfare of the body, or they're engaged in the take pleasure in so many different ways to try to find pleasure in some material affair and so on. Yesterday we were at the electrical store, and there was a TV playing on the top, and Covey was with me, and we were purchasing these electrical items, and there were these people who were arguing, husband and wife, and you know, the husband was having an affair, and the wife, she's there complaining, and you know, and Covey was saying, such poor people. They're so poor, because they're trying to enjoy in this material world, and trying to find pleasure, but going about it in a, you know, in very very complex ways. Like Prahlad Maharaji states that, you know, like as soon as you begin to want to enjoy, your distresses begin. You know, sometimes they say the remedy is more for their distresses. It's much more difficult, you know, to handle than the cure. You know, so we are very much discouraged to try, you know, to engage in this material life because of all the trouble and the difficulties that one has to undergo in order to achieve such materialistic goals. So everyone is searching after the highest pleasure, and the standard of pleasure may be different from the standard of another. This is even the case in the spiritual world. You know, the standard of enjoyment for one who's Krishna's friend, you know, is greater than the standard of pleasure of, you know, someone in dasham. But someone in dasham is completely satisfied in that, you know, ras. And then the standard of paternal pleasure is even more intensely blissful than the friendship and so on up into the conjugal affairs of the Lord, where the standard of enjoyment is far more blissful. So so in this material world, people have different propensities for working, different, you know, to achieve material pleasure. But the Srimad Bhagavatam does not focus on that material pleasure. Srimad Bhagavatam focuses on the pleasure that one derives from the transcendental loving relationship with the Personality of Godhead, the transcendental service to the engagement, you know, and the whole relationship with the Supreme Lord. So this is the focus of the Bhagavatam. It doesn't, you know, I mean, it talks about the certain literatures in our shastras do describe material enjoyment, but it describes also the failure of material enjoyment to deliver the satisfaction in one's, you know, life experience. So we understand from the Srimad Bhagavatam that the highest engagement, or the, you know, savai pungsang paro dharmo, you know, yato bhaktir hoksaje, you know, the highest occupation or the highest engagement, you know, the highest engagement of the for a living entity is to engage in the service, in the loving, transcendental, devotional service of the Personality of Godhead. And it has to be causeless, a haituki, you know, without motivation, a haituki, a pratiyata. And in order to completely satisfy the self, in order to become Atmaram, you know, in order to completely satisfy the self, one has to engage in the service of the Lord. This is the recommendation, or this is the authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam is propounding that fact, that the highest occupation of the living entity is, you know, bhakti yoga. So this verse here is describing how Shukadeva Goswami is completely satisfied in himself, but still he's attracted to the hearing or the hearing or the studying. If he's so satisfied, why is he still studying this vast literature of Srimad Bhagavatam? Because the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada states, it's about Krishna, and Krishna is all attractive. Krishna is so attractive that even the Atmaramas, I was afraid that this verse was the Atmaramas verse, that I was have no qualification to be discussing. Lord Chaitanya explained it explicitly in many different, from different angles of vision to Sanatana Goswami, but here, Prabhupada does mention, I was going over that Atmaramas Chamunayo verse, and it was Prabhupada just describing this verse at the end of that purport, how Sukadeva Goswami, although self-realized and self-satisfied, he's still attracted to hear and study the pastimes of Lord Krishna. So to have that kind of attraction for the pastimes of the Lord, you have to have some liking, you know, you have to have some, this liking Prabhupada described, this some little faith. And then we have to cultivate that faith, or that faith is also a synonym for faith is affection, like love. You know, it's like in the seed form, and it has to be cultivated. So faith, Shraddha, the beginning. But people in general, they want the perfection of self pleasure. They want pleasure. And the Srimad Bhagavatam states how to get that highest pleasure, not mundane pleasure of the senses. So sense gratification is highly discouraged, you know, in the senses, you know, you have 10 working senses, 10 knowledge, 5 working senses, and you have 5 knowledge acquiring senses. And it's recommended not to try to satisfy these senses, because they can never be satisfied. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes how sages, they avoid the sense pleasure because they know that sense pleasure is a source of misery. You know, maybe the mundane people, they cannot understand. You know, it's like, for example, I'll give an example of watching television. You know, when you're watching a movie or a TV show, you know, there's people that they binge. They'll watch a whole episode all through the night, the next day. You know, they'll binge on these television series. They're going through a lot of emotions, you know, tears are coming to the eyes, you know, sad events, happy events, and victories. You know, victory is Krishna, so they can experience a little bit of Krishna victory. And so they become, tears come to their eyes, they sometimes jumping out of their seats when something, you know, distressful or victorious goes on. So, I mean, they're experiencing some emotion, and they're thinking, I'm really enjoying myself. But they cannot see how the misery is coming. You know, they can't see how it's dulling their brain. You know, they can't see. I mean, even though their heads are getting dull and they're still watching and, you know, try to squeeze some pleasure out of their senses. But this is the illusion, you know, thinking that one is enjoying it, at the same time the brain is becoming very dark and the whole material nature, modes of nature are just squeezing down as you're trying to enjoy. But they cannot see that material enjoyment and that material nature is the cause of suffering. In a Buddhist philosophy, that attachment is the cause of suffering. But they can't see that being attached into these material in these material engagements is the cause of their suffering. So the path of spiritual life, we've heard it's like a razor's edge, very narrow. Even in the Bible, they say thin and narrow is the path that leads to life, and broad and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. You know, so. There was one good analogy of how this material world is like an ocean of suffering. And then, you know, you might be on a boat, you know, in your boat of, maybe you might be on a boat of self-realization, heading on a path to a particular goal. You know, you have to navigate and you have to stay on course. If you go off, the ocean is very big and you lose your instruments, you lose your guide. Now they have GPS, but if your GPS breaks, then, you know, where, how are you going to know where you are? You have to know how to read sextant, how to follow, you know, the stars by their navigational sextants and so on in order to stay on course. So it becomes very dangerous, you know, on this ocean, this material ocean, you know. You know, Daivyesh, Gunami, Mamamaya, Durat. They're very difficult to overcome, this material ocean. But, so once we, in Hawaii, we took a ocean trip on the Jaladutta 2. sailboat in Hawaii. And we left in the evening, so it's dark. So we're heading onto the material ocean. We were all in the dark. You know, if we had no sun, we could see that this material world is a very, very dark place. So with the sun, we have some light. But anyway, we were sailing out, and it was getting evening, and we were going to cross the most dangerous channel in the world, the Molokai Channel. They write books about this channel. And so it was windy, and, you know, you're on this boat, and you're going, and you know how they talk about the currents and the waves of Maya, you know, coming in. So here we're going across on this boat, and you know, there's ocean all around, and the wind is strong, and these waves that would come and hit the boat it was like the whole ocean was coming over on you. Just, oh my God, you know, boom, you know. So you have these waves of impediments towards your material enjoyment, or, you know, waves, impediments for your spiritual life, and they're coming. And there's like wave after wave would come. And we're you know, heading across, and we're like heading into the wind. So we had to stay perfectly on course so that the sail would catch the wind and keep the boat going forward, you know. So every time you get hit by a wave, the wave would turn the boat and turn the course, and so the sails would shift, and you had to go around in a complete circle to get back on course. You know, this is the difficulty of material life, but, you know, here's this analogy I'm trying to, you know, express the difficulty of material life without, you know, depending on Krishna and taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. You know, you take shelter of your own intelligence, you take shelter of your mind, you take shelter of these senses. And here you got these waves, boom, turning you off course, spinning you around. And we get back on course. And, you know, then you try to get some sleep. It's like, it reminds me of the forest of material enjoyment. You know, you're going into this forest and there's so much difficulty, wild animals, mosquitoes. And here I'm underneath in the cabin trying to sleep, and water's like coming down. I can't sleep. It's like water is dripping everywhere. And you know, I'm just trying to, you know, pull something over your head so the water doesn't drip in you, but you hear it going, blank, blank, and impossible to sleep. Then it's your turn to go back up. And it was so bad that evening, the wind was so strong, the waves were so big, that the boat started filling with water. And I remember one bhakta, he's like pumping, you know, water. You know, this is like a group effort. Like, say a whole nation. You know, they want sense enjoyment, and so they have all these consumer goods, their ads, their everything. But it's all a struggle. And here I remember this bhakta. He's like pumping the hand pump, because we had no electric pump to pump the water out, so he's pumping this hand pump, pumping. I can still see him. He's just there all night, and he was pumping by hand, just totally engrossed in a miserable condition, you know. So the boat's filling up with water, and, you know, we had to get up and go out, and then we saw all these papayas and bananas all floating in the cabin, you know. And we're trying to... We had to bail water, you know, by bucket to get the water out. Our captain, Narahari, he thought we were going to sink. You know, it was pretty bad, you know. So here we're like bailing water out, and I'm bailing water, and at the same time I'm throwing up, you know, seasick, and, you know, trying to bail water, you know. And so anyway, we finally get to the next morning, and it's calm, and we have like a doldrum, you know, but there's still these huge waves. And where we ended up, we're like maybe 200 feet from this giant cliff, like 2,000-foot cliff, you know, right down to the sea. And these huge waves are like crashing against the cliff. And, you know, this is the material world, you know, this type of difficulty, you know, material enjoyment. And, you know, that's like a very a harsh scene of, you know, struggle, but that's how it is, you know, struggling with the mind. You know, Krishna says all these living entities are mind, but they're struggling with these senses and struggling with the mind. So it's difficult. Material enjoyment is difficult. Spiritual life is also very difficult. Difficult to control the senses. You know, we can't. You have to stay right on the path. It's like even in my work, you know, like Prabhupada says, you know, you can understand by nature the difficulty of material life, or you can understand so many instant circumstances about spiritual and material life by studying nature. So even in my work, we understand electricity. It follows a path. It's a straight path. Just like our affection, you know, if we have our affection fixed, Krishna, it's and we keep that affection fixed, everything works out pretty nicely. Everything comes out pretty good. But like in electricity, it's like a straight path. But if that electricity contacts anything on the path, boom, the lights are out. The circuit breaks. You know, so similarly, if we repose our affection into sense gratification, our spiritual life, the lights, we're back in the darkness of ignorance. So, and sometimes when that electric gets off the path, it takes the wire and welds itself to whatever it's touching, and it gets stuck there. And you, no matter how many times you reset the breaker, pop, pop, you know, the breaker goes off, the electric's out, still in the dark, can't, you know. So the importance of staying, you know, within, you know, the, you know, this, we have this propensity, this loving propensity. And if we misplace this loving propensity, we'll become welded in material life. You become welded in repetition of birth, death, old age, disease, 8,400,000 different species of life repeatedly for who knows how many billions and billions of years and births and so on. So it's important to understand the danger of this material world, the danger of, you know, this the suffering and so on of this material world. So we have this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so merciful that he has given us this, you know, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to deliver ourselves from this material world and to deliver ourselves from the from this mold of material nature, from this suffering condition of material life. Because it is terrible. The mind is terrible. So we have to utilize, you know, determination. You know, we have to make determination means this mind, the symptom of the mind is determination and rejection, this accepting and rejecting, that's the symptom. So we have to learn to use. Because we may not have so much, sometimes we, you know, like Mayavadis, you know, they become so frustrated with their loving propensities. They think that to have this loving propensity is Maya. So they deal with their, you know, kind of psychotic, you know, with their just mental. And they concoct all sorts of mental speculations about, you know, advancing and making progress in life. So this mind, this, the symptom of this mind is accepting. So this determination means you accept what the spiritual master instructions. You accept the instructions that he gives you. You accept it. And you don't change it. You know, everything that is said in your Srimad Bhagavatam, you accept it. You know, if it says this about men, it says this about women, you don't want to make another philosophy, say, let's take all of these things about men and women out of the Bhagavatam. And no, you have to accept. That's determination. You have to, you know, you chant 16 rounds a day. You have to accept that. That's Prabhupada said, to be able to chant 16 rounds, you need determination. Determination means you accept it. Then you get it. Then as you accept it, then you get this, you might get to the point where you begin to like it. You know, that's the beginning of your faith. You have some appreciation for it. You like it. You know, they have the song, I like it, I love it, and give me more of it. Yeah, you hear that song? Sometimes you catch these, they're working with the Karmis, they're playing their radios loud, you know. I like it, I love it, give me more of it. You know, of course they're singing nonsense, they like so much nonsense, but you apply that to Krishna, you know. You like Krishna, you love Krishna, you want more of Krishna. Just like Shukadeva Goswami, you know. He's completely pleased, and still he wants more Krishna. Give me more Krishna. Give me more. Give me more. So like that, the path is there. You know. First we have to learn to accept what the spiritual master says as the all in all. There's nothing more important than the spiritual master's instructions. And so that we can, you know, not make that offense, you know, neglecting the instructions of Guru, neglecting the orders of the spiritual master. So very, very important to accept what is stated there in all of these purports, his highest transcendental ecstasies. So if we do like that and chant Hare Krishna without offense, it's like there's an example of Lord Ramachandra when he was king of the world. You know, there was all bodily and mental suffering, you know, like disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, you know, fear, fatigue. You know, these things were all completely absent during his reign, when he ruled the whole world, and there wasn't even death for those who didn't want it. It's like Cover was telling me, he was reading the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It described how the pure devotees, when they leave the body, they don't even notice it. Imagine. You know, so enlightened that when you leave this body, you don't even notice. You know, this is the way to leave the body. So, so all of these facilities they were existed because, you know, Lord Ram's presence as the king of the entire world. And it said that, you know, in Kali Yuga, Kali Kali Rupa. What is it? Kali Kali Rama Rupe. Kali Kali Nama Rupe. Krishna Avatar. That Krishna, he descends in the age of Kali in the form of his holy name. Hare Krishna. Hare Ram. And it's Prabhupada states that if we chant offenselessly, you know, if we chant offenselessly Ram and Krishna, and if we chant offenselessly, Ram and Krishna are still present in this age of, in this Kali Yuga, in this age. So the kingdom of Ram was immensely popular because it had that facility of no troubles and very beneficial. Then the spreading of this Hare Krishna movement, like what we're engaging in every day, spreading this Hare Krishna movement, distributing literatures and Harinams and Prasadam. So the spreading of this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation even in this age of Kali. So I'll read that part where when Lord Ramachandra was king of the world, there was no bodily and mental suffering, no disease, no old age, no bereavement, no lamentation, no distress, fear, fatigue. And there was no death for those who did not want it. So if we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offenselessly, we can immediately create a similar situation. So this is the wonderful benefit of this Hare Krishna movement. Very auspicious. Auspicious means the welfare for all humanity, not just, you know, beneficial for us individually, but it's a benefit for, auspicious means for all humanity. Well, the greatest welfare for all humanity. So we should go on chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, try to perfect it, chant offenselessly, and everything will be all right. Any questions or comments? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.